to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Randi Lee Levine. She is the author of Love More, Feed Less, A Tasty Path Toward Avoiding Childhood Obesity. Considering that childhood obesity has tripled in the past 30 years, which also means that there are about 12.5 million kids between the ages of 2 and 19 that are obese. Wow. When I saw those stats, I couldn't believe it. That really means that it's about 17% of our current population are kids that are obese. Well, today we're going to talk to Randi on ways how we can actually raise healthier children rather than those burdened that have so much excess weight. But first, a little bit about Randi. Randi Levine was raised in Philadelphia and introduced to the preparation of good food in her grandmother's kitchens long, long before she entered school. Equipped with a passion, dedication, and a natural instinct for helping others, she went on to become educated and trained as a teacher and mental health professional. Many years were occupied helping children and families overcome obstacles related to learning disabilities, behavioral disorders, eating disorders, emotional trauma, or just common childhood confusions related to growing up healthy and wise. In the early 1990s, residing in the mountains of Colorado, Randi's life and career changed in a moment due to a medical condition. Yet, Randi just never gave in. Instead, she found another way to help others through the goodness of homemade food and her two cookbooks, Baking at High Altitude and Sharing Mountain Recipes. Today, she is an internationally awarded culinary author who believes that knowledge and good food should be shared and that helping others is a gift. Wow. So true. And because of her passion for helping remain so strong, she often reflects on the lessons students and clients taught her to help her guide her eternal path to help them and their parents make the best choices that they can for health, well-being, and life. Hi, Randi.
Hello.
Well,
how are you?
I'm doing good. And this book is just really timely, really, really timely, because there's so much going on right now. Turn on the TV or the radio, and there's something going on about obesity and children.
Right. And there's a large effort to help stomp it out within a generation.
Yes, yes.
But I think the effort needs to start at home, not necessarily with children in schools. I think that's a plus, but I think more focus needs to be made on home food.
On home, and of course that's where it starts, but you know, I think that probably many of the parents maybe are just not versed on good food, because this is something that's been passed down for generations, and I'm sort of thinking, okay, Southern, I live in the South, and Southern food is very rich, you know, a lot of bacon fat, high fat, a lot of sugar, and this has been passed down for generations, and sometimes these parents just don't know.
There are healthier ways to make some of the old traditional foods, and even some of the old traditional foods, they're okay, but it's the amount that is eaten and served that needs to be adjusted. I love my great-grandmother's biscuits. They are made with Crisco. But I know I can only eat one, maximum two a day, and no other bread for the rest of the day.
Exactly. And I noticed as I was going through your book, there are a lot of recipes, and you do include sugar and you do include fats.
Well, yeah, kids are kids.
Yeah.
And candies and cakes and cookies are a part of being a child. They should be enjoyed, but again, in small amounts. If a child's going to have a muffin or a toaster bar, preferably not, for breakfast, then they don't need another baked good for the day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents don't realize it's 2 to 3 cookies a day, not per meal. So even when teenagers come home and they grab this handful of cookies out of one of those bags, you know, the manufacturer's bags, they are overeating those cookies, particularly if they don't go out and get any activity. You know, if they're going to sit around and watch TV, or if they're going to play video games and eat a stack full of cookies, well, of course, they're going to end up putting on excess weight.
And so what do you suggest for a substitute?
For what?
For, let's say, the teenager coming home after school.
Homemade cookies.
Homemade cookies instead of the manufacturer.
Homemade cookies. And, A, you can make cookies at home. Canola oil is a great, healthy substitute for melted butter and margarine.
Uh-huh.
And I have a couple cookies, actually, in this new book that are made with canola oil.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most kids that I observe them to have no idea they're eating a lower-in-fat cookie.
Right.
They just know that it tastes good.
And that seems to be the most important thing. You know, as I was looking through your book and reading some of your comments and so on, I noticed that you have a section there on food as a reward. And,
yes.
You know, our society, we celebrate functions, we celebrate events with food. It's all about food. It's a birthday cake, or we go out to a restaurant, or we have a big function, and it's all around meals.
Right, but those meals can be made healthier. I mean, a prime example in the book, I have a cinnamon roll, okay? Cinnamon rolls are a favorite. They're a personal favorite of mine. I've seen many kids light up. You know, their face just lights up when they see a plate full or they see a case full of cinnamon rolls. But cinnamon rolls, the roll itself is not that bad for you. It's all those globs of icing on top. So instead of buying a manufacturer's product, which has globs of icing, has excess chemicals to ensure shelf life, has excess sugar to make sure it tastes okay so they'll want more, make your own. And you make a minimal batch. You don't need to make a large batch. You can make a single batch. It brings out about 6 cinnamon rolls, 5 or 6 actually, and therefore there's 1 per person. And when going to a buffet or a holiday event, you know, yes, we tend to overeat. But in the same respect, if you're going to sit around and do nothing but eat, then yes, expect excess weight to come on. But if your teacher kids remember, there's a lot of other people here that are also eating, so 1 serving of each food is okay, but that's it. And if you're going to take, you know, a piece of this cake and a piece of that cake, no, 1 piece of cake. Or you take a little piece of 1 piece of that cake and 1 piece of that cake and maybe 1 cookie. But it's more about the size of the servings. I mean, yeah, kids are going to flock to the dessert table. There's no question about that. But when you teach your kids good eating habits, and you teach them, remember, just 1 serving of each. You can't have an extra large piece of the chocolate cake and then go 1 cinnamon cake, too. That's going to be too much. The other thing is you always, always, always drink a large glass of water before going to one of these events. Because it helps to fill your belly. And, oh, I don't want a glass of water. Then you add fruity ice cubes to it. So it makes it more flavorful. And then they'll drink the a glass of water is much better than a glass of soda pop. And it'll somewhat fill their belly already. And if there's hot chocolate there made with preferably milk, now some of those instant packets that are just pure sugar, okay, plain old milk will fill the belly. And one of the things that I have in the book about how to tell when your body's had enough to eat. And for older kids, it's a little bit tougher to teach them this, but for little ones, they go for it, okay? Teach your kids to recognize when their body has had enough to eat by feeling that little bit of a bulge against their pants or their skirt line. And that's like as if their body's telling them, you've had enough to eat, you don't need to eat anymore. And for little kids, I've done this with little kids. It works. Because they think, my body's telling me that's enough, so I can't eat anymore. But, Mom, there's still this. Well, you can have 1 piece of dark chocolate candy. But save some of the rest. We'll take some home so you have some for Christmas, too. Or you have some for the next day if the party's at the child's house. You know, if you eat it all up now, there's not going to be anything left.
You know, Randy, one of the things that just reminded me was when I was growing up as a small child, I was forced to clean up my plate, and the line was always, clean up your plate, there are starving children in Biafria.
Yes.
I had no idea where Biafria was. I didn't understand why my plate, what I didn't eat, had affected these kids wherever they were.
Right. And it really, it does and it doesn't. Americans particularly have a tendency to be gluttons. We overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Either the majority of us overeat or there's a small majority who undereats in an effort to stay thin. But when you serve single servings, and if your child doesn't like something, then don't put it on their plate because it's just going to get wasted. And so much food is wasted daily in this country as well as beyond.
Yeah.
You know, we over make a batch of something and then we only have minimal leftovers and you know nobody's going to eat them, so you scrape them down the garbage disposal. That's a waste of money besides food.
One of the things, too, that...
But when you do it in single servings and you don't make excess, and then there won't be any waste. And if you do make a double batch of something, you just let your family know, sorry, guys, that's all there is for tonight. The rest is going for leftovers. Oh, but, Mom, well, we got to eat during the week, too, you know. And where you had said a reward... Many. We reward ourselves with food. We reward associates with food. I do it all the time because I bake a lot. But for kids, there are so... When you teach a little kid that every time they do something good, they get rewarded with a favorite food, that can develop the habit of when they get older to reward themselves with food. Hey, I had a really great day today. My boss complimented me. Hey, let's go get a double burger and fries. You know, or let's go get a milkshake so I can reward myself. Or a box of candy. Not just a candy bar, a box of candy. You know, and they're the type of rewards that end up putting on excess weight. But for a little kid, instead of rewarding them or bribing them with food, well, if you really go to the doctor's office and you don't cry, we're going to go get ice cream. Okay, the ice cream goes to the gut. But if you tell the child the same thing, you know, if you're really good and you don't cry, then that means that you're growing up. And the kid looks at you, doesn't quite get it, but he behaves himself. And then afterwards, you give them a big hug. I'm so proud of you. You acted so grown up in there. Hey, let's go take a walk. A, you're spending one-on-one time with the child, not just feeding them a bunch of fattening stuff. And you're helping them develop a very good sense of confidence and a good self-concept. Hey, I'm growing up, man. I don't cry at the doctor anymore. Does that make sense?
Well, it sure does. And it also takes me back to when, again, as I was growing up as a child, and unfortunately I did this to my children too because at that time I didn't know any better, is using food for comfort. You know, when the child falls, bruises their, scrapes their knee or something, it's
yeah.
Like you give them a cookie or you give them a candy or something.
Or, hey, let's go make this.
Crying. That's right. And then later on in life, any time that there are pains that happen in life, what do?
We reward ourselves with food.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's a habit. And unfortunately, part of those type of rewards for some kids and some adults who are not active, they end up putting on excess weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just 5-10 pounds here. We're talking 30, 40, 50 pounds because you get so used to it. And that's when your health becomes a risk. And that's when you start to hear whispers, even kids and adults hear the whispers behind their back. Hey, don't you think Irene's putting on a little bit too much weight there? Those pants are a little bit too tight. You can see the dimples.
So when a child is overweight, do you believe that the child should be put on a diet?
No, absolutely, positively not. Hey, today, there's diets. Every time you turn on the television, you hear about this diet pill, that diet pill, this new surgery, that new surgery. okay? Child on a diet can backfire. And by that, I mean two things. A, if you tell a child, hey, you know what, you're getting a little chubby, maybe you should go on a diet, that child could become obsessed with their weight and food for the rest of their life. And by obsessed, I mean whenever they feel down, well, I can't do anything about my weight, so, hey, let's just eat some more. Or occasionally the opposite occurs. It doesn't occur often, but there's a significant rise in eating disorders among kids in this country.
Yes, there is, and it starts very early.
And it starts, I mean, yes. When I worked with kids in an inpatient facility that were brought in with an eating disorder, either bulimia or anorexia nervosa, it was very frightening, and I learned a lot about it. A lot of them had overheard they were chubby. They heard it either from their peers, or they heard it at home, or they heard it from their family's friends. You know, hey, so-and-so's getting a little chubby, you know? And so in an effort to lose weight, they either begin to, hey, you know, let's skip this meal. And then let's skip this meal. And then let's skip this meal. And they end up starting not just to skip a meal or two a day, but food for a whole day and then a whole week. You know, yeah, they'll drink their water. Yes, they'll play with the salad, but they really don't eat it. And it gets to the point where they start looking in the mirror. And even some kids, particularly teenagers, if they can pinch a half an inch, they're getting fat, at least in their mind. So these kids who are real susceptible and have heard, hey, you know, you're putting on a little bit too much weight, maybe you should go on a diet. They look in the mirror, they may be very thin, but they see themselves as fat. And it's a distorted image. And part of that distortion comes, A, from their mind, and two, from lack of nutrients. Because our bodies need nutrients in order to sustain itself. And we get the nutrients through food. And, I mean, I've worked with some kids who came into that clinic at 50 pounds. And they were, what, 5'6", 5'7"?
Wow.
And even some little ones, but today there's more and more kids from different backgrounds, economic backgrounds, under 12 who are developing anorexia or bulimia. And bulimia is, yeah, I can eat whatever I want because I'm going to go throw it up. And that's what they do. And it gets to the point, and parents, most parents don't realize it until it becomes a medical issue. That's how well they hide it. Well, yeah, I can eat a half a pack of cookies, no problem. Oh, wait, excuse me, I have to go to the restroom. And they'll throw it up. And the sad thing is with bulimia is the body becomes so adjusted to just throwing up food that it gets to the point where just the sight of food, just the scent of food, the body will automatically try and purge itself. And it might be a dry cough purge, but the body just instantly, oh, there's food, I better go throw up.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. As you've heard so far, Randy is well versed on how to change a child's eating habits to a more healthier style, therefore maintaining that desirable weight. So stay tuned because Randy has some great tips on getting your children to eat more vegetables and fruits, a challenge that many, many parents have. I know I sure did when I was raising my children, and she's got some good tips. By the way, Randy's website address is themuffinlady.com.
And the one thing that these kids don't realize, first thing that goes during this type of weight loss is the reproductive system. It can be destroyed, and their heart becomes very weak because it's striving to pump itself due to lack of nutrients. And the other part is, best way I know how to describe it, is the Karen Carpenter story. This child, do you remember Karen Carpenter?
I sure do.
Okay. She, with her great voice, the producers wanted her on the front of the stage. She happened to overhear one of the producers say, maybe she's still a little bit too chubby for that. And she wasn't chubby at all, but in his mind, she was. 6 years later, she was dead.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't agree that putting a child on a diet is the answer. A, it can lead to an eating disorder. B, it can lead to an obsession with food. I mean, I've met some large kids when I used to work with kids, very large kids, okay? And I'll never forget this one kid. She was about 15, and she was overweight. She was fat. There's no other way to put it. She was fat. And she was on her way to becoming obese. But the kids all saw her as the fat kid. And, yeah, she laughed with the jokes. And, you know, she always played the heavy part in the games. Hey, let her do it. She can block them real well with that body. But when she didn't think anybody was looking, she would shove candy bars and Hostesses and Little Debbies down her throat in an attempt to fill up the loneliness. And I caught her doing it one day. And I said, you know, there's better ways to handle it. And she looked at me and I said, why don't you start working out with the gym teacher every morning? And she said, Randy, everybody in my family is like this. I said, that's no reason for you to be too. You've got big bones and you have a big body frame, but that's not an excuse for being so big and filling up all that loneliness with candy. But you know what? You can turn some of it into muscle. And I got her attention. And I said, if you help so-and-so in the mornings, because you live right down the street, you can walk to school. You know, in the morning, set up all the weights, set up all the equipment for the day ahead, even work out with the football team in the morning if you wanted to. She said, me? And I said, yeah, you. Some of it's going to turn into muscle. And she gave me this look and the desperation in her eyes. And I said, all you can do is try. That's all you can do. And, yeah, she came from a pretty poor family, so they ate a lot of prepackaged food. 6 months later, not only had she dropped 30 pounds, but her belly was a little fatter. She still had big bones. She was still a big kid, but she had developed a lot of muscle. So much so that they asked her to play on the basketball team.
Wow.
Because it was discovered she was really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Once she developed some muscle.
That's an inspiring story. That's a real inspiring story.
Oh, she was a good kid, and
yeah.
It broke my heart to see that.
For sure. Randy, I know that I'm sure some of our parents that are listening are saying, ugh, how am I going to get my kid to eat more fruits and vegetables?
Oh, it's
all
easy.
All they want is hamburger.
Oh, it's easy. And no, I don't mean pouring blueberries into a hamburger. Okay, but A, cut out all the white bread. You hear so much about gluten these days. Well, most of these people forget that white bread is full of excess gluten. But wheat bread and whole grain breads, which actually taste better, they have a flavor to them, don't have as much gluten in it. So, and gluten adds to weight. That's the carbs. Everybody says, hey, you got to cut out carbs. Well, a lot of that is the gluten in carbs. But just from the very beginning, stop serving white bread. Go for the whole wheat and go for the whole grain. Even French bread in those roller, you know, in the freezer section of the grocery store, they have whole wheat bread. And it's good. you know, I granted in the book I have my oat bread recipe, but I don't expect all moms to make their own bread like they did 100 years ago, but make wiser choices. It's not going to cost you more, but it might save you a whole lot on medical bills. So you go for the whole wheat. You go for the whole grain. As far as fruits and veggies go, I'm literally probably the fussiest eater on earth. I still pick tomatoes and peppers out of food just like I did as a child. I even used to lift up the cheese on pizza and wipe off the sauce. And that's not fussy, nothing is. But my mom, my grandmothers, they would bake with fruits and vegetables. One, to get me some more into me, and two, because they enhance the food. So it's a prime example. One of the recipes in the book, and I happen to really like the title because it's one of my favorite songs, Zippity Doodah Bread. It's strawberry bread, and it's made with yogurt. Therefore, it's healthy. I mean, no, it's not as healthy as, say, a celery stick with nothing on it, but it's a whole lot healthier than a prepackaged baked good, or even zucchini bread, or make your own candy bars. And I've got the recipe in the book, but you can make them with fruits. You can make them with nuts. You can make them with dried fruits. And they're still getting candy, but they're getting some fruit in there too. And as far as veggies go, you cook with them. I mean, I'm not an advocate of sneaking foods into foods. But sorry, Mom, if you get a couple bunches of fresh spinach, you blanch it, just boil it for a couple minutes until it starts to get dark green. You chop it up, you throw it in a freezer Ziploc bag or a few of them, and you throw it in the freezer. So when you make a tomato sauce, or even if you must buy the jars of tomato sauce, you can add spinach in there. They don't know. I never knew growing up, and trust me, I would have found out if I knew. Okay? Or even the oodles of noodles and zucchels that I have in the book, which is just plain old zucchini pasta.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But when you cook the zucchinis with the sauce, 3/4 of the zucchini disintegrate into the sauce. And you serve it on top of noodles or just as it is, kids have no idea they're eating a vegetable. And
yeah,
if they ask what it is, it's a zucchini and you like it.
The other thing, Randy, is that I kind of smiled to myself when I saw the recipe for heavenly mashed potatoes,
mm-hmm,
using potatoes and cauliflower. And what a great idea, because I've done this.
And they're to die for.
They are.
And you don't know.
That's right, and you still get your other vegetable, and you don't have the potatoes that are high starch.
No.
You know, you have some of it to just give that consistency and texture, but you have no idea that there are cauliflower florets in there.
No, yeah. You have no idea, and I came up with that, gosh, years ago, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's come up with it, but I over-microwaved some cauliflower. And when I started adding a little bit of canola-based bread to it, I'm like, wow, this is like a mashed potato.
Yeah.
And I tasted it. I'm like, wow, it almost tastes like them.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next time I made up some mashed potatoes, I over-nuked the cauliflower again, and I mashed it in with the potatoes. And I don't use a beater. I use the old-fashioned potato masher.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
And I had company over that night. Nobody knew.
and
that includes my ex. And when I told him that night when we went to sleep, and I said, "You ate a vegetable." He said, "What do you mean I ate a vegetable?" And he said, "You made, you know, some julienne vegetables." And I said, "Yeah, but I mashed some cauliflower in the mashed potatoes." And the look he gave me, and he went, "No, you didn't." Yeah, I did, and you didn't even know.
That's funny. Well, gosh, Randy, this has been just a really good conversation, and I know that our listeners, and specifically if they're parents of children that are just a little fussy or, you know, are needing to...
It's easy, but you got to get creative.
That's right, you know, and...
I mean, even the flavored water that I told you about earlier...
Yeah.
you get into a little bit of fruit into their water. They don't know it's healthy.
Yeah.
All they know is it's fun and tasty.
Exactly.
And fun and tasty is much more positive approach with kids, and it's good for you. Eat it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense.
Granted, there's been a lot of research that if you use a smaller plate, then you ultimately eat less.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And yes, there is some truth to that. But that doesn't mean you got to go out and buy all new plates.
Right.
All you got to do is get creative.
Yeah.
And I, a couple weeks ago, I was speaking to a group of moms at one of the meetup groups locally, and they said, what do you mean get creative? And I said, hey, you go single servings according to the size of the person. Yes, if your husband's palm or the back of their hand, their fist, it's going to be a lot larger than, say, your 5-, 6-, 7-year-old. So your husband's sizes are a little bit bigger, but you adjust servings accordingly, and sure, there might be some empty spot on the plate. So you slice some orange slices on there, or you put a little bunch of grapes on there. They'll get eaten.
Yes,
instead
they will.
Of eat your fruits and vegetables, hey, it's right there. They'll eat it. You know, I mean, who can resist a fresh slice of an orange? And if your kids or your husband or yourself are still hungry afterwards, hey, guys, there's a bowl of fresh fruit. There's still some salad left. Help yourself. You know, and when they start to whine, which they will, okay, and complain, Mom, I'm starving here. Mom, I'm starving. I'm sorry, honey, but these changes are made so you have more energy to play and enjoy life with. It's really hard to argue with love.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I guess I could say, and the whole theme of my new book, Love More, Feed Less, get rid of all the prepackaged and previously prepared food.
Yep.
Because, granted, when you were growing up, when I was growing up, TV dinners, sorry, that was for the babysitter.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't a weekly, if not daily, event. I mean, yeah, the manufacturers have made it very easy, you know, for us to feed ourselves and for us to feed our families. But those foods, A, only get eaten. They don't get remembered. B, they are loaded with so much extra stuff in there. And these chemicals are what you're raising your kids on or what you're raising yourself on. And the other part is, which most people do not realize, A, costs an awful lot of excess money to overfeed your family on a regular basis. And all that excess money to overfeed ultimately end up spending on medical stuff, okay? B, when you buy a manufacturer's product, whether it's fast food, whether it's pizza, takeout, you know, a prepackaged meal in a bag or a box, you're paying for the packaging. You are not paying for the food with it. And, I mean, I know I'm not the only one who has noticed a lot of packages have gone down in size. But the price has gone up. The package is more colorful. So, therefore, you're paying for all the advertising of these packaging. And a prime example, and it drives me bonkers, the prepackaged puddings and jellos and yogurts, size of the container keeps going down, but the price keeps going up. Your parents don't realize you make your own pudding, you make your own jello out of the box, it costs you less, okay? Two, yogurt. Yogurt, the price of yogurt has gotten outrageous. I'm sorry, almost a dollar, a little itty-bitty half a cup container. But when you buy the full container, the quart container of plain old yogurt, doesn't have all the excess stuff in there. It's just plain old yogurt. You get to add a little bit of honey and your own amount of fruit to it, and ultimately you're not getting the excess sugar. You're not getting the excess salt. And yes, yogurt, prepackaged containers of yogurt have salt in it. It helps increase the flavor. Okay? And you're not getting fruits previously mixed with sugars. and water. You're just getting the plain old yogurt. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And I just really appreciate you, Randy, coming on to this program and talking to the parents out there. Your website address?
Well, I got almost two.
Okay.
Right now, the Love More, Feed Less book can be purchased at www.themuffinlady.com.
Okay.
Although, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, I know my web people are on vacation through the 3rd of January. So probably come the 4th of January, my new website blog type thing will be up.
Okay.
And that'll be www.lovemorefeedless.com or Child Obesity Support Solutions.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Randy, for coming and talking to us. And
well, I used to be a teacher, counselor, and part-time therapist. And to me, yeah, I left the field for a little while as I got into the high-altitude cooking and baking and sharing those recipes. But my skills are still there, and it's time to go back as a culinary pro. I am one of the members of Chefs Moves to Schools. I am a member of Let's Move and Healthy Action for Healthy Kids. But I approach the subject of childhood obesity as a teacher, mental health professional, before I approach it as a culinary pro. And as much as I hate to put all this pressure on parents, your kids depend on you to make the best behavioral and food choices for them that you can. And homemade food ultimately costs a whole lot less in the prepackaged than the previously prepared.
Yes, that is so sure. There you
go. And also start cooking. It doesn't take long to throw a meal together. We're talking 10, 15 minutes to throw it in the oven. And aren't your kids worth it? Isn't their health worth it? So that's why I wrote the book, to help parents.
Well, I'm really glad you did. There you go. This Randy Lee Levine, Love More, Feed Less, A Tasty Password, Avoiding Childhood Obesity. Check it out. It's got some great recipes in it and definitely a lot of information. As you have heard, Randy is very knowledgeable in childhood obesity. Do check out that book. Again, it's Love More, Feed Less, A Tasty Path Toward Avoiding Childhood Obesity. I encourage you to check it out. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.